to the Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to the Good Morning Show. Oliver O.T. Thomas, the early bird, entire WBOK listening audience. She's back, and she promised to come back, especially on this topic, to talk about depression and what we can do about it as a community, but what you can do about it as an individual in the family. One of the great minds in our community, especially when we talk about mental health and how we treat people for addictive disorders and the like, Dr. Rochelle Head Dunham. Thank you. You're becoming like a household name, and you really are. I hear people talk about you now and your level of activism and the light that you're spreading on mental health and addiction this town. You're really branded, and it's really not about you, Dr. Dunham. You're branding the issue right
now. Excellent.
Has that been on purpose? Is that just who you are? Is that just the natural order where it needs to be?
It's really my calling, really, Oliver, simply stated. I mean, it's what I'm purposed to do. And when you approach it that way, then what you're trying to do gets in front of who you are, you know, or becomes who you are. So if that's what's happening, that's exactly what's happening. And so our communications director will love that, because that is her main requirement, is to make Metropolitan and what we do a household name.
And it is what's happening. But the other thing you're doing is you're making this issue, these very troubling issues that the Metropolitan deals with, you're putting them front and center.
Yes.
Of all of our conversations, whether it's at the barbershop, around the dinner table, people are standing up and taking notice. Now, this is a follow-up to the last conversation we had about depression.
Yeah, that's right. And we talked about trauma.
You made that promise, and you're back here.
Exactly.
Is there greater trauma and greater depression here? We had so many people, experts, Dr. Shervington, Carl, Victor Sims, who were saying that, I listened to the NPR report, we look at what's happened post-Katrina.
Yes.
Post-recovery.
Yes.
Post-economy.
Yeah.
Are we in a different bracket here?
Yeah, well, you know, the way you can think about that and the way you can consider quantifying that is, think about an onion. Right? Mm-hmm. An onion is layered. That's the way it is created naturally. And so our experiences layer our life. And those things that are good bubble to the surface, and they give us good thoughts, good memories, good feelings. Those things that are not so good are layered, and they bubble to the surface too. So depending upon whether you have more good layering or negative layering is going to determine really how you experience life on a daily basis. And so we have had a lot of layering of trauma, negative experiences, and it's ongoing. And we haven't kept pace with addressing it. We're not expected to not have bad experiences, right? I mean, it's just a part of life. But you have to deal with things. Things cannot be layered over and layered over and layered and expect that stuff that's buried deep below the surface is going to bubble up real easily. We have to deal with things as they happen. And so there's so many things that we experience in this world that for various reasons, people just don't want to talk about it. They just don't want to deal with it.
Now, when you're saying don't want to talk about it and don't want to deal with it, is there a method, especially when we talk about depression and trauma, is there a method to get people to deal with it, to get them to talk about it?
Well, you know, we've had this conversation before about people being educated. I think the greatest power you can give somebody is educating them, helping them understand exactly what it is they're dealing with. And so because we don't have enough people like myself who are in plain spoken language or addressing these issues, making them real, taking away the stigma and all the negative charge around them, and just making a matter-of-fact conversation, because that's what they should be, we're not really grooming people to want to and to feel like it's okay even to discuss these things. And then, you know, when you discuss them, many people feel like, well, why? Where is that going to go? I don't know where I'm going to get help, or are you the best listener? Or if I'm say something to you, is it going to stay with you? All those things, there's so many things that come into play. But in most cases, it's better to just put it out there. It really is. It's better just because the energy that's associated with it gets discharged when you do that. We make things much more complicated in our imagination than it really is in reality. And so these things have to be diffused. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that really is to put it out there, talk to somebody. You know, many times we always have people who want to listen. Everybody has people want to. We don't necessarily want to take the risk, though.
And what do you mean by take the risk? Explain that, Dr.
Well,
Dunham, in clinical terms.
So the risk has to do with whether how it's going to be received.
Okay.
You know, and anything.
That individual who
doesn't
want to take the risk.
Yeah, that's right. The individual doesn't want to take the risk because they're not sure how it's going to be received. They don't know whether the recipient can even hear it. Like, for instance, somebody thinking about suicide. Right? For a good classic example, many people believe, too, that if I talk about somebody who has suicide, that's going to make them kill themselves. That's one of the biggest untruths out there. In many cases, a person who's at that point of despair and hopelessness is really looking for a life raft.
And there's suicide hotlines.
There's suicide hotlines, that's right. But suicide, you don't even need a suicide hotline. You often need to just talk to somebody about it, at least to get the ball. And then when you're at that place, many times people need to be shepherded to help. And so then that person can help them. We do a training, and we should probably talk more about this, but it's called Safe Talk. And it is an evidence-based intervention that you're familiar with Safe Talk, where you teach people what to say, what to do, how to act.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the layperson.
Yes.
For the layperson.
Yeah.
And so things like that dispel myths.
It sounds like we need a community-wide Safe Talk effort.
We do. That would be a phenomenal thing for us to do to address a lot of the despairing thinking that people have.
Breaking news right here on the Good Morning Show. Hopefully that our city leaders are listening. That our people in the clinical community are listening, so that you're open to spearheading that effort about Safe Talk. Dr. Dunham, we hear so many young people.
Yeah.
Now, and last time we alluded to, talked about the NPR report that talked about an increase in depression amongst young folk.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Shervington in her study talks about sad, not bad.
Right, that's right.
Victor Sims, when we do mentally speaking, he talks about the increase in dealing with young people now who actually believe or have a level of depression right now. As an old head, as someone who's looking at the world, I think they have everything to live for.
Yeah.
I think they have every advantage.
Yeah.
Where is this increase coming? And where is it coming from? And how do we stem this tide of increased depression amongst our children?
Yeah, well, I think the question there is who sets the tone for hope, right? The generation ahead sets the tone for hope.
Wow.
And so if you don't have that being set, then how can young people are reactive to what the other generations ahead of them do. They really are. When you even talk about mental illness in children, most children don't have mental illness. They don't. But they borrow from the adults.
That's a powerful statement. And I've heard several people, and I use it in some of my speeches and talks when I say that if we ask what's wrong with the children, the first question ought to be what's wrong with
the
us,
adults. That's right. That's exactly right.
And you're saying the same thing in terms of mental health.
Yes, exactly. Now, there are core psychogenetic problems that occur that really can be complicated by the environment, but they're going to happen anyway. Like schizophrenia, for example. If you're prone to be schizophrenic, you will be schizophrenic. Mm-hmm. But your schizophrenic course can be not as traumatic if you're in a healthy environment.
Now, Victor Sims was on here the last time, and he said that he's tired of hearing everybody say they're bipolar or somebody's bipolar without a proper diagnosis or professional.
Yeah, I am too.
He says... And he says, in my community, he says, I'm sick of everybody blaming everything on bipolar, and you say you are too.
Explain
why amongst intellectuals and social scientists like yourself, how does this thing get out of control?
I don't know.
Because everybody's bipolar now.
Everybody is. And you listen to Tom Joyner's rebroadcasting of Two-Faced being bipolar,
right?
You know, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard, right? But I think it's because the people just have not really been – they don't understand psychiatric terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of psychiatric terminology, including depression, is used to have meaning that's broader than what technically it means. Bipolar is truly – a person who has fluctuations in their mood right. to extremes, you know, extremely high to mm-hmm. extremely low and back and forth. And personality issue where a person is irritable and aggravated mm-hmm. and difficult to deal with versus happy-go-lucky, that's personality. That's not bipolar. Bipolar is a mood instability. Mood is irregulated.
And he talked about in many cases, that's a personal choice.
Yes. Well, medication is necessary right. to pull those right. mood instability in place. Right. But if you have personality right. issues, that's more
that's
therapeutic.
You.
Yeah, that's fundamentally right. how you cope.
Right.
Personality
right.
really is about how we cope with life.
Wow, 504-260-9265. I learned so much about myself and others every time Victor Sims or Dr. Dunham comes in. Let's talk about New Orleans right yeah. now and the impact living here has on people with depression. Mm-hmm. Errol Williams was here, the assessor. He mentioned several times gentrified communities mm-hmm. and how tough that is right now. Dr. Eric Anthony Johnson does his show on urban regeneration. He talks about the difficulty of living here mm-hmm. and the impact that that has on people mentally mm-hmm. and socially. The Brookings Institute and all the reports that talk about the stresses of everyday living and capitalism and coping here in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. At what level do those things also contribute to the difficulty of people getting a handle on their mental state?
Yeah, so that's very good segue into really grief and loss. And I want to distinguish for you the difference between what we consider clinical depression mm-hmm. and grief and loss. So one of the things that New Orleans is maybe a little bit more unique for mm-hmm. is the amount of loss, the degree of loss that we've experienced here. Katrina alone, which basically wiped the city away, mm-hmm. and we are rebuilding it literally. But all of the loss also results in, so all of the murders, the mm-hmm. deaths, possessions, anything that you have an attachment to that you no longer have.
Right.
That can be an emotional attachment to something that you no longer have. We've had a lot of losses in New Orleans, and they're ongoing. And the other thing, too, is they seem to continue. They don't seem – where is the end to this? So grief is the result of a loss. You can tie it to that. But you're not always sad when you're grieving. You have good days, too,
okay,
you know? But
right.
but sometimes you get really, really low, but it doesn't last, versus depression that's persistent.
Now – that's a great segue to another thing we've talked. We've talked about a trauma center here or a public, how we address trauma publicly, a public effort here. Mm-hmm. And you've basically just summarized why New Orleans is where it is and why it's a little more different and how we've compounded these things. Mm-hmm. Why have we not had an organized effort to deal with these levels of depression and how they've piled on from one thing to the other, mm-hmm. because a hurricane may be gone, mm-hmm. but I just lost my sister, mm-hmm. so that pile just lost my business. I just mm-hmm. couldn't find it afford. So one thing piles on the next, and many people like yourselves have called for a major investment mm-hmm. in how we deal with depression and trauma, mm-hmm. but it hasn't happened.
Yeah, I don't know that our voices have been loud enough, frankly. The voices of those who know better.
Absolutely.
I don't think we've been loud enough. And then once you do that, though, once you've done that, mm-hmm. then I think then who is the lead? Who should really be mm-hmm. taking the lead here? You know, sort of having this amorphous idea that we need to be leading these efforts. Who's gonna lead? You need a champion. Who's the champion for
you
this?
You are, Dr. Rochelle.
So if I'm the champion for this, I need an army to work with me with this.
And some resources.
Yeah, I need resources to do that. Yeah, you know, I'm putting my agency out there front and center. Every day we're promoting. This is what we do. This is what we do. But mind you, Metropolitan can't do this by itself.
Yeah.
You know, we can only do so much. So I think there's a level of awareness to the city council, our elected officials, our health care providers. Mm-hmm. It is hard to even get my colleagues on the primary care side necessarily to have these conversations with their people who come in regularly.
Dr. Dunham, was the pain and the hurt done during the Jindal administration mm-hmm. and the breakdown of the mental health community, mm-hmm. was there irreparable harm done there? Are we still paying the price for
that? Well, let me say this. The mental health community was already broken down. Let's just be fair here.
You're reading my thoughts.
Yes, it was already broken. We had something that was already broken, and it cracked a little bit more, given the choices that were made. The choices, though, were problematic with the closures because we have not built out a community environment for care to the extent that it needs to be. So that the idea was, if you really need to be able to go to treatment in your community, you should not have to go to the hospital to get treatment. The mental health system was built on 24-hour care. You go outpatient to get medication, and if you start to have difficulties, you go in the hospital, one or the other. It was never built on a system that can contain people in their own environment. And legally, Olmstead law requires that you ought to be able to go to treatment in your neighborhood. We didn't build the neighborhood before we closed the hospitals.
But it was already gone.
There's a role, for example, that public health can even play here. Public health clinics, in my opinion, should have behavioral health people in them. You know, everybody is not going to come to us, Oliver. They're not, because of the stigma associated with it. Everybody, though, who touches somebody need to have at least some screening knowledge, two or three questions that you ask routinely to find out. You know how many people kill themselves who've seen the doctor the day that they committed suicide? It's a huge percentage of people. And so it's a call to action for everybody to step up and recognize that I have a role in this, too.
Dr. Dunham, Brian Turner, one of the young great social scientists and our community professor at Xavier. Mm-hmm. Dr. Turner says this needs to be one of the great movements of our time. Yeah. He believes, Victor Sims, others like yourself believe that one of the reasons why nothing in New Orleans is ever transformational or sustainable is because in many cases mentally we're not prepared to make it transformational or sustainable. How do folk like you and Dr. Turner and others come together? And I just got a couple of texts that said folk are really ready. But how do we coordinate this effort that you've laid out perfectly where we are, that people like Dr. Turner and others says that we are not going to ever be close to our best if we don't get a handle on mental health in this town?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I shared with you, I think, in one of my other talks that I would rather have an average person who's mentally stable than a genius, right?
Yes, you do.
So mental stability is really what promotes a society. You've got to be able to function normally, healthily, mentally. I think the way to do it, though, is one, build a block at a time. So I think that there's a convening of a certain core group of people who need to come together, and that probably should start with the professionals like myself. And then we need to partner with the access teams. You're an access point. Radio is an access point. Television is an access point. Our political, our city council should get together with a core group of behavioral health specialists. And we begin just having the dialogue and figure it out. It needs to be figured out, but we've got to convene to figure it out. And we can figure it out. That's not the complicated part. It's pulling the people together.
The army is out there. There's so many like yourselves. And I think that what you have done and what many others have, especially you've given, whether you like it or not, you've given us a face and a place and a space for this conversation. You've given priority to this movement. How soon and when does it come together? Because I'm just being honest with you, as I look at this town, the mental health of this town, we have not been healthy for quite some time. This state has never been healthy for quite some time. But I live in New Orleans, whether it's violence, whether it's poverty, whether it's the lack of a real educational system. If we don't get an understanding on how we act and think about it, I don't think we'll ever have anything, even if it's good, that's sustainable and transformational.
No, you're absolutely right. I tell you, the other group that's critical here is our faith-based group. Critical.
Cannot leave them out of the discussion.
One of the things that I'm doing to put your money where your mouth is we're initiating a faith-based initiative with the clergy, and we have a meeting this Saturday, actually, where we're inviting in clergy to come in and work with a consultant who we're paying for, Metropolitan, to help us figure this out. And the whole idea is to teach them what they need to know and to deal with, frankly, their issues about mental illness and what to do with it. And, you know, I am absolutely a Christian.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So there's no contradiction for me with prayer. But I also know where it ends and where other things happen.
It's hard to get to salvation if you can't get to sanity.
Oh, beautiful. I like that, Oliver. That is absolutely true.
That's what I do.
That is
It's hard to get to salvation if you can't even make it to sanity.
There you go. So we are the sanity makers here. Right. So, yes. And so we're working with
you
the
You can
faith
pay me
base.
For using my slogan.
I'm going to use it. Thank you, Oliver.
But that ultimately describes New Orleans. I'm just at a loss because we're so far behind the curve here. This place is different.
This place is
different in many ways. And at some point, people here... We've become so used to surviving mentally, physically, spiritually, and economically that people tend to think they'll never, ever get to a point where they can live.
And it doesn't have to be that way. We can talk more offline about what we can do about this.
Wow, we're going to get to line one. I love this call. It's a great question that's being asked internationally right now. Maybe you can answer for Mr. Ralph. Mr. Ralph, you're on with Dr. Dunham. God bless. Talk to me.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're doing good, Mr. Rao.
I'm going to try to be brief. I just want the doctor to elaborate on our president of the United States, which is suffering from narcissistic personality disorder.
Great question.
And all the clinical psychologists around the country has not elaborated or determined that this man is suffering from a psychosis. And also, as far as... traumatization of the New Orleans people. We have never had any therapeutic effort.
Okay. That's what we're saying. Absolutely, Mr. Ralph. Thank you.
You have 22 military personnel that's committing suicide every day.
Wow.
But ain't nobody talking about that.
Mr. Ralph, thank you. I appreciate it, man. God bless you, and have a great week. That's questions being asked on CNN and Fox, and I watched the last weekend national interviews right here, breaking news on the Good Morning Show. Dr. Rochelle Head Dunham is going to diagnose our president. Go ahead.
Absolutely, she is not going to diagnose our president. The truth of the matter is, in all fairness to my professionalism, a diagnosis is only made with the person.
Right.
I would truly have to evaluate him and have an opinion, so I can't.
So you're
going to
tell
that.
Mr. Ralph, as much as you'd like to, you'd have to sit with him.
I can't touch that. Yeah. And technically, I mean, I can't loan an opinion like that, a professional opinion like that, without having really evaluated. We just don't do that. But you know, I mean, those concerns require that happens. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that. I also want to say though that our tone is set by our leadership. You know, show me your leader.
Very good point.
And I will see why you are the way you are. And so it's a real serious
concern. You just said a lot.
Yeah.
Whether you're the leader of a state, a country, a state,
whatever,
a community,
you lead. Exactly.
Or a town.
Exactly.
The tone that you set has a lot to do with the mental. That's a heavy statement.
It's a very true statement. It's a very true statement regarding the military. The military has a higher rate of suicide than the civilian population. Mm-hmm. That's an absolute fact.
Right.
Our National Guard has the highest rate of all. Right? Because they're in between worlds. You know, that back and forth does some things for them. So show me the leadership of the military, and it tells you why they haven't gotten the treatment and the attention that they need. You know, there's a perspective on that from the military.
We love the troops.
Love them. Yeah. Totally respect them.
We love the troops.
We do.
Until they come back home. This is OT, the early bird, and Dr. Rochelle Head Dunham. Her job is to get along with everybody because she has to make sure we're competent and sane. Doc, at what point will we have this convening in this city? Because, you know, we've been the murder capital in 5 different eras.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bustling economy where if you read Dr. Dangerfield's report, the late Dr. Peter Dangerfield, we've had centers of poverty that have been 5 and 6 times the national average for 50 and 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
This town struggles politically when you talk about leadership and actually allowing people to have their rightful place.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do we convene?
The time is now. I mean, what better time than now? We are entering a new era of leadership in this city. I think that our new mayor has indicated that she is a mayor of the people.
People first.
Yes. And so, well, we need to put that front and center. And we don't need everybody to do this. We just need the right core people.
Can we count on Metropolitan to call and convene that summit, at that meeting, that workshop on mental health?
Yes, you can count on Metropolitan.
You let me know and I'll be there. We'll announce it right here on the Good Morning Show.
Sounds wonderful.
Dr. Rochelle had done anything you want to add before we leave, and how do people get in touch with you?
They can call us at 568-3130. Our lines are always open. We are totally available, and we have capacity to treat people.
And I want to thank you. I'm hearing more discussions about mental health, more discussions about how do we become transformational and sustainable in our thinking and interactions than I've ever heard before.
Great. So that's good to hear.
This is OT and Early Bird. I want to thank everybody who called and everybody who texts. And a special shout out, especially during this segment, to people like Victor Sims, Dr. Turner, Denise Shervington, Carl, and all of the other people who are fighting with Dr. Dunham to make sure that not only New Orleans is safe, but that New Orleans is sane. Everybody have a wonderful day.